Today is March 25th, year 2007, and we're celebrating Passion Sunday, and the Annunciation, the Feast Day of the Annunciation would have been celebrated today, but it's put off till tomorrow, because today on Sunday, we have the Passion Sunday. Now, last week we were talking about discerning between devils and things that come from God, okay? And one of the great verses that, which I didn't mention last week that Brother Will brought up to me was 1 John 4:1, where it reads, "Dearly beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits if they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world who are seduced by devils appearing as angels of light." And that applies to what we were talking about last week, and we went over the ways that you can distinguish between a spirit that's from God or a spirit that is from the devil. Okay, so now, we're going to talk about dreams in a different way. We're going to talk about how the devil tempts us in our dreams, how he attacks us in our dreams, and sometimes even gets us to commit what might would appear apparent sin, do sinful things in our dreams. Now, the first thing I want to talk about here is no matter what happens in your dreams, you do not sin. You can never sin when you're dreaming because you're not conscious. You're in an unconscious state. It's a different state which you're not in full control of yourself, and your body can take over and do things that you don't even will to do. But you can even will to do certain things in your dreams, but we're going to get into that in a minute. There's two different types of people who have these types of dreams. But no matter what happens in your dream, you can never sin. Sinful things can happen in your dreams. The devil can even tempt you to lust, and you could fall for that temptation and do the lustful thing he tempted you to do. But that's not a sin. Only if you do those things when you're conscious and awake. Now, the thing we got to warn people about is, why does the devil do that, though? Why does he tempt you in your dreams? Why does he give you those dreams? Oh, he does it so that when you wake up, you will carry out the temptation that he seeded in your mind during the dream. So if he gave you a lustful dream, his hope is that you're going to wake up, and that dream is going to fall on live ground in your body, and you're going to want to go out and commit that sinful act. That's why he's doing it. He tempts you through dreams. So even though you can't sin in your dream can be the cause of you sinning later on when you wake up and you become conscious. And then you go up and you wake up and you remember that dream, and then you want to go out and do the dirty thing that he tempted you to do. Whether you steal in a dream, whether you committed lustful act in your dream, whether you lie in your dream, whether you blast, whatever you're doing in your dream, he wants to get you to do that when you wake up, and he wants you to go out and carry that out. And his hope is that if he can hit you with enough of those dreams, he can get you to do the dirty deed. Now, the important thing to listen here, too, is we got two types of people we're really basically talking about here, too. Let's just take, for instance, the sin of impurity, fornication, and lust. Chastity is one of the greatest virtues that men can have. It's even a law upon the heart. Even pagans should know that you should be chaste. So the devil will attack two types of people. Now, he attacks the chaste man, the person who really is chaste in his life and hates fornication and lust. He doesn't have that problem. He doesn't commit that sin. And he's pure in that area. The devil wants to go in there and tempt that guy and get him to commit some type of a lustful act or humiliate him in his dream. But we're going to get into the reasons why. Now, you have the other type of guy who is absolutely full of lust. He's committing fornication when he's awake. He's in mortally sinful lust. He actually wants to have those dreams. That guy, I know myself when I was in lust, because I was in lust of the worst type. And anybody who knows it, in the era we grew up in, all the kids would say, I hope I dream about a nice girl tonight. I hope I dream about a nice girl and I can have a fornicating dream. This is something lustful people look forward to when you're committing lust. You know, they're saying, I want to have a dream tonight so a nice girl comes up and I can have lust in my dream. Now, that person already has committed the sin by thinking it. So, because let's take the lustful person. Before he goes to bed, he goes, gee, I'd like to have a dream tonight that is just where I have a girl come in and I can have lust with her. Well, that person already committed the sin, because Jesus said the minute you think about a lustful thought in your mind to commit it and to complete that act, you've already committed a mortal sin. He says that in Matthew 5:28. He says, I say that anybody who looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So now the devil, the person who is full of lust and is committing mortal sins of lust, wants to have these dreams. He commits sin every time his mind thinks that, gee, I'd like to have one of these dreams tonight. He committed a mortal sin right there, because he's awake. He's doing that when he's awake. Now, when he has a dream at night and actually commits the lustful act, he didn't commit a sin there, but he already committed his sin because he desired to have that dream. Now, the chaste person, truly chaste person, absolutely despises lust, hates it, like anything you can think of in your mind that you, anybody out there, if you can dog dirt or anything you can think that really is hateful to man and odious, think of that. Because a person who's chaste looks upon lust that way. He hates it. He really despises it. But the devil goes after that person even harder. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. When I was full of lust, and you want to have those lustful dreams, you never get them. And anytime one of your friends used to get them, he'd tell you, go, boy, you're lucky. We want to get that dream. So, but it's good too in a way that God doesn't always let that happen, because then he lets you get carried away even more into lust. But when you're chaste, and you really want to be chaste, especially when you're first coming out of lust and you're converting and you really now are chaste, the devil is going to attack you ferociously in your dreams with lust. He's going to try to get you back, and he's going to try to make that lust fall on live ground, and he's going to want you to go back out and wake up and commit that sin. Because at one time he possessed you by lust and controlled you through lust, and no longer does he have that control over you, and he wants it back fiercely. And so those who are overcoming lust in the beginning, and they really are starting to live chaste, be prepared for that. And it even attacks saintly men that never had any lust in their life. The greatest saints were attacked by lustful dreams and visions. And the devil does it, and we're going to get into the reason why God allows the devil to do these things next. I'm just talking briefly about the idea that no matter what happens in your dreams, you don't sin. But the devil does that to try to tempt you to sin when you wake up. So the first thing that the chaste person does, and we have this in the divine office and all that, and we pray it, before you go to bed, you ask God to protect you from these dreams, that first and foremost, and this is my prayer, Lord, protect me from the temptations of the devil and from the concupiscence of my own flesh, so that during my dreams, if the devil happens to attack me, he will not conquer me with lust, because even saints could be conquered with lust in their dreams and do the lustful act, but they're not guilty, because the devil gets that close to him. So you pray, so that's what they call pollution, and you ask God, I don't want to have pollution, I don't want the devil to succeed and attacking me in my dreams, I don't want it to succeed. That's the first prayer. But however, Lord, if it does succeed, okay, I want it to fall on dead ground. This is very important to mention, because this is what first happened to me when I was converting. And what that means by I want it to fall on dead ground, that means that as soon as you wake up and come to consciousness, you despise it. You spit it out of your mouth. You hate it. You say, you dirty pig, you slob, you devil. And you absolutely really hate it. Great. That's good, because then you're not going to want to go out and do it. The most dangerous, that's the first thing you want to be protected from. Because even the greatest saints are not protected from being overcome by lust, even in dreams. Even St. Paul with the sting in his flesh. I'm going to tell you why God allows that to happen to even great saints. To humiliate them, to make them humble, and to put their trust in God. That's why God does that to saints. We'll talk about that now. Why does God allow the devil to conquer saints in their dreams even, and to make them carry out the lustful act in their dreams? He does it to humble them, to show them how weak they really are, to show them how sinful their corrupted flesh is, and rebellious it is, and to show them how so very much, that they need God to protect them, so that without God, you are going to commit that act when you wake up. So it makes you afraid, it makes you run closer to God, and it gives you humility. There's another reason that God does it, though, to saintly people. I'm talking people in the state of grace, Catholics. It's not only just to humble them. He can do that, and then it's because of no fault of your own. But sometimes he will let the devil conquer you in a lustful dream because of your own sins and your own faults. Now, if you're in a state of grace, we're talking about venial sins here and faults because you're in a state of grace. So let's talk about the person who's in a state of grace, and this devil attacks you in the dream at nighttime, and he conquers you with a lustful dream, and you succumb to that dream. The first thing you got to do when you wake up is you have to question this. You have to say, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And I call this a rape. It's like you're being raped. I call it a rape. And the devil really does it. And by the way, the devil really does appear to you in a physical form and rapes you. They call these incubus and succubus devils. They really do. It's a real devil in there manipulating you. And you have to wake up and say to yourself, even the greatest saints, this is the first thing any one of them would say to themselves even, Lord, why did you allow that to happen? Oh, it's disgusting. Please, Lord, let me know. The first thing you have to be worried about is that it happened because of some type of sin you're committing. It could even be a mortal sin you're committing. So you don't even know, because where's the scripture says man's not doesn't know if he's worthy of love or hatred, Ecclesiastes 9:1. So you're not even sure if you're in a state of grace. No man can be sure if he's in a state of grace unless by special revelation from God. For even a person who is living chaste and actually hated that dream, the devil conquered him, he has to wake up, and the first thing he has to say is, Did that dream happen because of some sin of my own or fault? Or did it happen simply because you wanted to humble me and show me how much I need you because you see that I'm getting a little prideful or arrogant? That's what Paul said. St. Paul said the reason God allowed it to happen to him is so he wouldn't get too puffed up. Because as soon as God lifted St. Paul up to the third heaven, he knows our human nature. Pride is always waiting around the corner to peek its head out in every one of us. So he humbles you by these dreams. And if that happens, it's for a meritorious reason. It's for a good purpose. It's not because of any sin you committed. It's not because of any fault you committed. It's even a meritorious thing. God's doing it to humble you so that you don't fall into a future sin of pride and to put your whole confidence in God, to keep your perspective right. Because if God let you continue to go without being unmolested at all, you're going to begin to take too much confidence in your own powers. Now, my point in, on the idea of sins and faults, and I want to give you an idea why this happens. And that's our biggest fear, all of us, who are living chaste and hate fornication and with a perfect hatred, and we do and I do. And I want to continue to do it. That's why I ask God that if ever those dreams do happen or if they do succeed, let it fall on dead ground. I want to wake up and spit it right out of my mouth. I want to hate it with a perfect hatred. I want to get down on my knees and say, you dirty pig, you devil, you rape me. Why? Why did this happen? And have I done something? Now we're going to get into the idea, and this is the way God uses it. You know, if you serve God, all things work together for good. He uses the devil to perfect you even. Now I'm going to give you a little example when you have a dream like that because of a sin or a fault. Let's just talk about a fault even. Let's start out with faults. All mortal sins start out as faults and then go into venial sins and then proceed on therefore to mortal sins. Now, the sin of gluttony, let's talk about that. We're all tempted by it. All the great saints even, their whole life, some of them conquered it really almost most perfectly, but it's a very difficult thing to conquer. And you always wonder, did I eat too much? Did I overeat? Did I eat to the point where it becomes gluttony? Or did I drink too much? Alcohol even. You didn't get drunk, maybe, let's say, but you almost did. Or you're drinking too much. Or you're drinking early during the day instead of just at the nighttime. And you're drinking a little too much. Alcohol. You know, it's okay to drink alcohol. And to get that warm, comfortable feeling, it's in scriptures. But it's not okay to get drunk. And it's not okay to drink it too much. If you wake up and you're drinking in the morning, in the afternoon, why do you need it then? And then you're supposed to be doing other things. Unless it's a feast day, then you can do that. That's another issue. But I'm just telling you how God does it in my life even. If I've overeaten during that day, and you even sort of know when you've done it, there's a limit where you've gone a little too far, he'll give you a lustful dream that very night and let the devil even conquer you. And you'll wake up and say, oh, what? And then you think back, what did I do yesterday? Did I do something wrong, Lord, to deserve this dream? Sometimes the devil will conquer me and I know I've done nothing wrong and it's just to humble me. But other times, but you always got to examine your conscience when that happens, and say, why did that pollution happen? Why did you let the devil succeed in raping me in my dream during the night? Why did you let that happen? And then a lot of times you'll say, yeah, and even when you were overeating a little too much during that day, you even knew it. You said, I think I went a little too far now. I ate a little too much, I drank a little too much, and then bango, you get the dream. And God says, indeed you did. Just don't do it again. And then the next night, you're still eating, but you're not going to go that far to the point where it becomes gluttony. So that's God's way of telling you committed a fault, you ate a little too much, bribe yourself a little bit. It's not that you can't eat and enjoy yourself on feast days, you could, but there is a point where all of us can go too far, where you get sick and you get bloated and all that kind of stuff. So there's one reason God gives you a lustful dream and lets it succeed, because you were, and he does it to warn you. Back off a little bit, you're eating too much, you're drinking too much alcohol, or you've done something else during the day that was wrong even. You have to examine what you did in the past day. You chastised somebody unjustly. Or you didn't chastise somebody when you should have chastised them. So God lets the devil bust you at the nighttime and succeed. And that's because of your own fault, or because of your own venial sin, or even worse, even because of your own mortal sins. And so you always got to examine your conscience when God allows the devil to attack you in a dream and he succeeds. Why did God allow that to happen? First question you have to ask, is it because of a sin or a fault of my own? If that's not the reason, then it's because he's humbling you to show you how weak you are without him, because he knows that maybe he's giving you a couple successes and you're feeling very confident, and he sees pride peeking its head out maybe a month or 2 months later, so he humbles you ahead of time so you don't even get that far. And you wake up sheepishly after a dream like that and say, boy, what a louse I am. What a weakling I am. And God says, correct, you are a weakling without me. Without me, you can do nothing. And I'm going to tell you how to ward off these dreams, too. We're going to get into that. Now, the other reason you can have these dreams is because God is warning you that there's something going on in the camp, there's somebody in the camp, some unclean spirit that came into your camp. And when I say camp, I mean into your house and your living area. And all Catholics live in areas in which they immediately live in, their homes and where they sleep and where they eat and where they live, have to be temples of holiness and sanctity, just like their own souls. Your house and where you live has to reflect your soul and vice versa. Because if you let anything into your house by your own fault, by not being vigilant, that is, by letting unclean spirits in your house or unclean people, and you're not rebuking them when you should, God lets those devils that those people bring into the camp run roughshod over the whole camp, and you'll have something like this happening even. And this has happened with Ron and I several times when we had a few people in here that were not right. I don't want to mention their names here. And they were full of lust demons. And it's not bad. You can have somebody in here who has lust demons and you're trying to help them conquer those things. But the problem is when you're not doing your job and vigilant enough by kicking them out when you've had sufficient proof that the person's not listening and that he's obstinate and that he's in here under bad will and you still allow the guy to stay in here, then God lets those lust demons attack you night after night after night. And when those dreams start happening successively, one night after another, you better wake up and say, there's an unclean spirit in the camp, Lord. What is going on? And then this happened to Ron and I. We both would have it like 2-3 nights in a row. We said, what's going on? You've been hit 3 nights in a row. So many. We got something going on in here. And we said, we know who it is. It's so-and-so. We got to get him out of the camp. Kick him out. He's got a devil in here. And then as soon as you kick that guy out of the camp, and we did, you know the big mess we had with him. As soon as we got him out of the camp, the dream stopped. Now this was because of a sin on our part of lack of vigilance. We were allowing the person to come into our intimate living space who was obstinately in mortal sin and whom we knew was bad, and because of false charity, you can give whatever reason you want to give it, this guy didn't belong in here. He was bringing his lust devils in and we weren't doing what we should have done to cast them out once we knew he was obstinate and he wasn't really sincere. It's like Mary was saying to us, and Jesus, we consecrated our house here and our whole home to Jesus and Mary, to Christ the King and Mary. We consecrated this house. This is God's home. And God said, you're letting a person come in here who is an obstinate mortal sinner with such unclean devils, and you're allowing him to stay in here after you know he's obstinate. You are allowing him to defile my house and make a mockery out of the consecrated house that he's in. And so God warns you that way. He'll give you lust dreams that will hit you successively one night after another, and it happens in a row, several nights in a row. Then you got to wake up and say, we got a problem in the camp. There's an unclean spirit in here. It either came in through an object or through a person. And it's because of our fault of lack of diligence. Because God won't do that if somebody sneaks something in here and you don't know about it. But he still could give you a lust dream, though, to get that object out. That's another issue I'll talk about. God can even do that to you, and he's done this to saints even. If a saint's praying for somebody who has lust, this is the fourth reason we're going to get into. But the fourth reason is, if a saint's praying for somebody who has lust, God's going to let that lust devil leave that person and attack the saint in his dreams. So now you're taking on his devil to try to liberate him from the devil. All the great saints will tell you this. Whatever type of devil that a person's being tempted with, your great saints will say one guy was a thief, and the guy says, boy, I had terrible dreams last night. This devil was tempting me with thievery, and then I had all these visions of people stealing and things. He says, I know what your sin is now. That's how sometimes saints can even tell what a person's sin is. God's indicating you what that person's sin is, because he'll let that person's demon attack the saint. And the saint wakes up and goes, I'm attacked by his devil. You have a thieving devil in there that's tempting you to steal. You have a lust devil that's tempting you to lust. You have a devil leader that's tempting you to blaspheme. But sometimes God will do that even for you to take the heat off the sinner who needs to repent. That's another reason God lets you have those dreams. You're taking away the lust devils from him, and God's allowing them to attack you because you can withstand it. And God knows it. He says, I know you hate fornication. I know you're chasing, you love chastity. I know you're faithful to me, so I know you can bear it. So I'm going to let that devil attack you to take the heat off of him and gain some merit. Because you also gain merit every time you wake up and spit these dreams out and they fall on dead ground. You're gaining merit. You even get stronger. But the things we got to be worried about, most important, is that when these dreams happen, is it because of any sin or fault of my own? Okay, when the devil succeeds in his lustful dreams. Now you learn as you go on, you're serving God and getting very chaste. And in the beginning, the devil, when I converted, for instance, before I converted and I was full of lust, you want to have these dreams. You know? And then after you convert, oh boy, you absolutely, this is the interesting how the devil works even. Before I converted and was full of lust, you want to have these dreams. It's just like every guy I grew up with in Newark, New Jersey, is all the same. We were all pigs. We were all full of lust because you grew up and this was pre-Vatican II, even then there were a bunch of apostates and heretics. There was no grace in that church. So everybody's looking forward to these dreams and you're not getting them. But here's what happens when you really convert and become chaste and you hate this, the devil starts bombing you with these dreams. But if you love God, you wake up and you go, you pig. You begin to realize for the first time in your life how Satan absolutely controls you lock, stock, and barrel by lust. By lust. It's like tying a lasso around your private parts and pulling you around whichever way he wants you to go. And you see it, and you get angrier at it. The more he gives you dreams like that, the more you want to be chased, and the more you hate it. You go, oh my, you get down on your knees and confess your sins to God and say, oh my Lord God, now I can see how much this beast controlled me. He's a slob, he's a pig, he's disgusting. That's the way, if you're really, that's dead ground. And that's the first thing you pray for when you wake up. It's so bad, even to give you little examples, when people are full of lust, they even look at pornography and lustful pictures. Well, now I'm living chaste, absolutely pure and holy. In that area, I'm not saying I'm pure in every area yet, but the first thing was chastity. God got me into chastity. Mary's the one who's through Mary. God got me chaste, absolutely. And then when the devil knew that I despised what I used to love, he would came at me with all barrels. And every time he hit me, it only reinforced me and made me stronger and more convinced in my chastity. Examples now, I'm not looking at dirty pictures. I don't have any desire for it. I hate these things that I use. Now, I'm walking to the corner store. I lived in an Italian neighborhood to pick up some Italian bread, you know, and I'm walking down there, and I'm looking down at the floor, and all of a sudden the devil blows a dirty picture right in front of me because I already am guarding my eyes. I don't want to look at any dirty pictures, not even for a split second, and he knows it. Throw out all, if anybody's looking at pornography in your home right now and you want to be chased, you got to throw out every piece of pornography in your home, every videotape, every magazine. You have to put it in a big, and do it this way before you throw it out, the paper materials. Put it in a big steel vat and burn it and do an exorcism over it. Because every piece of pornography that comes into your house has a devil in it. Every piece has a devil in it. And he comes into your home and he runs roughshod over you. And I can give you examples on how the devil, I had to purify my home in a similar manner. I had to do all these things. And you do it willingly. And if there's anything that you missed, one day the guardian angel even guided me, physically came and told me, go in your closet, there's a dirty picture in the right-hand corner and buried under all the boxes. He told me. I went in here and there it was. He said, you forgot to get all the pictures, Richard. You missed one. And it absolutely happened. I went right in there. Now, what is that telling you? That's like Raphael said to Tobias, do you not know that those who have lust, the devil has power over them? I'm telling you that even if you have one piece of pornography in your house, one piece, you got a devil in your house. Now, I already burnt all this trash and garbage and did an exorcism over, and I'm already living chaste and loving chastity, but I'm like, you missed the piece. Just like that, when I was awake, he told me, and told me where it was, and I went into the room and found it under the box, hiding in the corner of the closet, and I went, wow, thanks. I put it in the pot, burned it, and did an exorcism over, and then the house was clean from any of those types of pictures. So what I'm trying to tell you is when you finally get chaste, and you really do, and this is all by Mary, to Jesus through Mary, who made me chaste, who made me hate what I used to love at one time, and it was the miraculous metal novena primarily that did it in the Holy Rosary. Miraculous metal novena primarily, because in there it says, help me to hate sin. And I said, Blessed Mother, Jesus, you promised you can deliver me from sin. And this is the first time in my life I really sincerely make this prayer. I never want to have lust again, ever, my whole life. I can't conceive how I can do it on my own because it's beyond my human capacity. I'm so addicted to it. I can't do it on my own. I don't even think it could happen. But you said it could happen. I believe it. Mary, help me. Help me to hate it. And that's the other thing. You have to ask God to hate your sin. You have to hate it with a perfect hatred or you're going to commit it again. You can't be neutral towards sin. You can't say, I'm just going to be neutral. You have to hate it with a perfect hatred. And within 6 months, Mary made me hate that sin. Really, literally, absolutely hate it as the most thing you can ever hate. It's a miracle of conversion. This is the way God works with people. But my point is, when that starts to happen, the devil starts coming at you more because now he's lost you in that area. He can no longer control you through lust. And he wants you back. But if you keep praying and keep being faithful to God, those things that the devil does to you only makes you more aggravated. And then you begin to say, and then you look back and say, oh my Lord and my God, how I've sinned against thee and how the devil has owned me lock, stock, and barrel. Us kids, when we were young, we always used to wait for the weekend so we can go to New York City and run around and whore around. That's all we thought about. If we weren't doing it, we were thinking about it. If we weren't thinking about it, we were doing it. It's horrible. It's the slavery that our Lord says in Mark 8:34, whoever sins is a slave of sin. You are absolutely full of slavery. It's illogical too, because in the lustful act, it doesn't. It's nothing. It's an illusion. It's not only is it just a waste of time, it's a sinful waste of time, a mortally sinful waste of time, in which the devil controls you. Now, he'll come at you in these dreams, especially when you're converting off of this, and my point is the first thing you have to pray to God on that is, Lord, I'm weak, protect me, but if the devil's just conceiving and attacking that dreams, when I wake up, may the dream fall on dead ground. And indeed, that is exactly the first thing that starts to happen. Then God starts these dreams start to fall away. They're not as much anymore. Flee from the devil and he will flee from you. Now when they happen, even when they happen to the saints, they happen. But it's not like in a successive, constant thing. It'll happen once in a while, and it'll happen for the reasons I tell you it happens. To saintly people even to virgins who never had any lust. God even allows it to happen to them, to humiliate them. To show them, yes, you are a virgin. Thank God for that. You are chaste in your home. That's very good. But so you don't get too confident in your own virginity. Like he said, the foolish virgins, they were virgins, but they went to hell. Virginity is not enough. It's Saint. I think Solomon teaches this in Wisdom 8:21. He says, "I knew that I could not be continent, chaste, unless God gave it." He says, "Unless God gave it to me to be chaste." And this is another point of wisdom to know whose gift it is. So why does God do this to virgins and chaste people and saintly people to keep them humble? Yes, you are chastely. You are a virgin, but just remember that if I wasn't with you, you'd be as bad as that whore down the block. And it humbles the virgin to say, "Yes, Lord, I don't want to do that." But I know it's you who's protecting me. And the virgin is earning that too, because she's cooperating with it. But the danger is the virgin, or the chaste person, even the person who's chaste, like I'm chaste now, could be tempted to think how great I am now. It's maybe harder for me to think that, because I know what I've done in the past. But I know for a virgin, that's a big temptation. But so God allows it, these things to happen in your dreams. For all these reasons, this is important for people to understand on how, now we're going to get into the area of how you ward off these devils in your dreams, because you could. God gives you weapons in your dreams. Now, the time, if the devil succeeds in conquering you with lust in your dream, that's when you got to wake up and say, wow, it didn't work this time. But I will tell you consistently and constantly, and I'm going to read in here right now, before all of us who pray the divine office, and everybody in Mary's little remnant, we pray the divine office. But as we're going to get into the compline prayer, in which we pray this prayer. And all the monks and the nuns and everybody said this prayer before they go to bed. And it's the Te Lucis prayer. Before the end of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that with thy wanted favor thou wouldst be our guard and keeper now. From all ill dreams defend our eyes. From nightly fears and fantasies, tread underfoot our ghostly foe, that no pollution we may know. Pollution is when the devil conquers you with lust in your dream. Don't let him conquer me with pollution in my dream. Don't let him conquer me with lust. Oh, Father, this we ask be done through Jesus Christ, thy Son, and the Holy Ghost, who liveth and reigneth forever and ever. Amen. Now, when you pray before you go to bed, you're asking for this. Lord God, Jesus, help me. Let my guardian angel protect me from the attacks of the devil and my own concupiscence of the flesh. It's a two-pronged attack you want to be protected from both. Now, every time the devil, 99% of the time now when the devil attacks me with lust, 99% of the time, if he's starting to succeed in it, my angel stops the dream immediately. It happens almost every time. He stops writing before the devil succeeds in conquering me with lust. Sometimes I have to participate in that, and you can do this even. Many times God will give you the strength to do this. When the devil's starting to tempt you to lust in a dream, muster up your strength and go, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, save me lest I perish. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, save me lest I perish. Guaranteed after you've said that once, it's over. It's gone. Because the devil flees at the holy name of... A devil outside of a human body or an animal, just a pure devil outside of any of these vehicles, cannot bear to hear the name of Jesus. Or Mary, or Joseph. He can't. Especially Jesus. He just runs. And Mary. He runs. And he flees from you. So many times, you got to remember this when you're having these dreams, and the onslaught takes on. Even if you just said this, say the name of Jesus. Just mention the holy name of Jesus, let alone Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the dream stops right away. And I will immediately it'll stop. And he will not succeed in conquering you with lust. Not all the time, though, can you get those words out. So sometimes you're so weak that you can't even get those words out. Sometimes you can try to get the words out and they're not even coming out of your mouth because And sometimes God doesn't even let you think about using them unless the devil conquer you. Those are the times when you've got to ask, why did God let that happen? And that can still happen to even saints for a humble purpose. But most of the times, and you have to muster up, if it's possible, and always keep this in your mind, to test those spirits in your dreams, because most of the time you could test your spirits in the dreams. Just ask them to say the name of Jesus if you're suspicious. Sometimes you don't have the frame of mind to always do that, but a lot of times you do. Now, times when I don't have the frame of mind to use the holy name of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, because he sneaks this dream up on me, I'm not even thinking of it. It's out of my mind. He's already got me going, almost going into this deed. My guardian angel comes and shuts it off like you turn a TV set off. Just like that. If you were just watching a show and you're in the middle of the part of the show and you shut the set off, that's the way my angel does it. Oh, then I wake up in the morning, and this is your prayer you always got to make every day to God. After you wake up, you got to say, Lord, I'd like to thank you for allowing my guardian angel to protect me during my dreams from the attacks of the devils and from my own concupiscence. And first and foremost, my Lord God, I'd like you to thank you for protecting me so that they from falling on live ground, so that when I wake up, I would despise them and hate them. And then I would like to thank you for protecting me from pollution, for him not succeeding in that dream. But the most important thing is dead ground. That's the big thing. But even the pollution. Now, if you did have the pollution, your prayer is this. I'd like to thank you for protecting me from the devil, from the dreams falling on live ground. And Lord, I would like to know, why did you allow the devil to succeed in his lustful attacks on me during my dreams last night? You have to say that. Was it because of my own sin? Is it because of a fault I'm committing? Is it because you want to humble me? Is it because you want to warn me? You have to say that. And God will let you know why he did that happened. Those are your prayers every day that you do with that. Now, when the I'm going to give you the coy ways in which the devil will go after, chase people. And this is what's happening. The devil knew now I was spitting these things out. I absolutely despised them. And I was also warding them off in my dream. So when he would have a woman approach me in my dream, I would go like this, say the name of Jesus. And they would run away. Oh, they would run faster. Now, here's how he would get you. He says, I know how I'm going to get richer. He now loves religious things, Catholic things, holy things. So I'm going to send a woman up who's modestly dressed, and she's going to talk about religion at first. So this is a real dream that actually happened to me. And a woman comes up, and she's sitting on the other side of a table. And I'm on the other, it's a round table. And she's on the other side, and I'm on this side. And she sits down, and she's not using the name of Jesus, but she's saying she wants to talk about God, about religious things. So my mind was, she wants to learn about God. And I says, well, that's good. You want to learn about God. That's what I'm here for. I can teach you about the true God. I can help you to save your soul. I can tell you who he is. Now, as I'm talking to her, and I'm thinking I'm helping her to save her soul, she's moving closer to me. She's moving closer and closer to me on the table. I'm not noticing until she gets so close to me that she's right next to me. She's right next to me. And she's almost ready to touch me, start touching me. And I went, uh-oh. And I looked right at her and I said, say the name of Jesus. Boom! She was gone. Because I knew the minute she touches you and your flesh gets up, you can get into the concupiscence of the flesh. So the devil first had her approach me for a holy purpose, and had her slowly but surely sneak up real close to me to get this close. And she was that close from touching me. I went like this. I felt it. I sensed it. Already. I said, say the name of Jesus, and bang, oh, she was gone. So the devil tried. But that's the way the devil will get you when you're chased, because he knows you despise fornication and lust, but he still tries to get you. And his hope is that if you are committing sins and faults, if you don't correct your faults and venial sins, they will lead into mortal sins. Our fear is that one day you will wake up and that temptation is not going to fall on dead ground. You're going to start thinking and to go out and commit that sin, and you've already committed sin if you do it. But there's a stage in which he starts to put that urge in you, and he still tries. Regardless, the devil's still going to try. That's his job, to tempt you and to try to do that. So we're telling you in your dreams that, and it's not, we're not just talking about lust dreams. I had the devil come up and attack me in my dreams many times. And if not all the time can you muster up the strength to confront him and say the holy name of Jesus, or say the holy name of Mary. And as I told you once before about one of my dreams, when I tried to hit the devil physically and punch him with my fist, my guardian angel told me that's not the way you fight him. He's a spiritual entity. Use the holy name of Jesus and he'll flee from you. And it happens. And a lot of times I tell this to other people, if you have visions, and the vision is telling you something good in and of itself, or you're not sure if it's from God or from the devil, like we just read, test the spirits if they be of God. And we told this to one person we knew who was having a lot of visions, and we now know they were from hell, straight out of hell. All he had to do was, and when he was awake even, he thought angels were appearing to him, and that God was speaking to him. not Mary was speaking to him. It was all straight out of hell. And this particular person didn't listen to my advice, and that's why he's now in deep trouble even. I says, what you should have done and what you should do is make these visions say the holy name of Jesus. Test them. And say the holy name of Jesus. Test them and see if they... Now, what happens is a lot of these people get addicted to these visions and they like them. And by the way, witches, for instance, they want to have fornication with devils. They even fornicate with devils when they're awake. Devils can appear in the form of a human and fornicate with you. Witches want that. They actually invoke that. And when they go to the devil demands of every witch, most when you're in the higher levels of witchcraft, that you fornicate with him. That's part of the deal. You don't do it, you're not going to get the full powers of a witch or a warlock. The devil can appear as a woman or a man. And they call them incubus and succubus devils. They're real. And they fornicate with human beings. They can take on the flesh of a human being and look like and feel like a human being and fornicate. Witches do that and all that. So you're getting the idea of how the devil is in there, in your dreams, attacking you. What was the last subject I was just talking on that with the... I gave you some of his... about the spirits too. Not just let's say obvious evil things like we said, lustful genes, but he appears as an angel of light like Lucifer, and you're getting all these visions. It's again back to the holy name of Jesus. But I wanted to make another point that when the devil is in the body of a human being and he's possessing a human, the holy name of Jesus doesn't work that quick. It still gives the pain to the devil, but because now you have a free will creature that hasn't died yet, the devil can hide in the human, and hiding in the human, the devil has more power to injure you. Because he doesn't have to flee. You can go up to somebody who's possessed and say, I command you to get out of that person, name of Jesus. It ain't going to happen that easy. Oh, sometimes it does. If God gives you the real power of the apostles or St. Paul. St. Paul's handkerchief used to touch people and the devils would fly out. But that doesn't normally happen. My point is the devil could really hide in a human being. And the holy name of Jesus isn't going to make the human being run away. You got more problem with a human being. I even had dreams where I was actually, I know God had me even trying to convert human beings in their dreams. I don't know if they were dreaming or awake, but I was actually trying to convert human beings. And I knew they were human beings because I told them to say the holy name of Jesus and they were able to do it. And they didn't run, they didn't fly, and then I knew I was talking to a real human being there. And I was trying to convert them. I've done that. This happened several times. I go and say the name of Jesus. And they'd say it. Say it again. And they're not running. I said, this is a human being that God wants me to rebuke, maybe, or to try to convert. So, this is a big thing on to allow people, first of all, an overly scrupulous person who doesn't know about what I'm saying here, who really is chaste, a virgin or chaste person, who gets an attack like that, don't get crazy. Don't think you've committed a sin. The devil will try to do that to a scrupulous person, have him kill himself or go into despair and say, how could that have happened to me? What have I done? All I'm telling you is you can never sin in your dreams, never. But I can tell you that you can have those dreams because of sins you've committed or God's... giving you humility, you know, or the devil is simply tempting you. But you can't commit the actual sin in your dream. But you really do have to question if you're starting to have these lustful dreams and they're happening in succession. To me, when you happen in a succession like that, God's warning you there's a big unclean spirit in the camp. It's either you let a person in here or you let a thing come in here that's got to get out of the camp ipso facto right away. Get them out. This happens to us several times. And as soon as you kick the person out of the camp, those dreams stop. Even Ron, I would say, did you get hit last night? I got hit last night. And the night before, something's up, man. We got to get on guard here. There's an unclean spirit who's unleashed in here. It's not that devils aren't allowed to come in here even now. They are, because we're always being attacked to a degree. But when they're unleashed like that, unleashed, and given power to hit us like that, that means we are doing something unvigilant. And sometimes, if it's not because of anything you're doing wrong, but God just wants you to take on the devil, that lust devil, he'll let you know there is a difference. Because it doesn't happen that often. It doesn't happen in succession. And God will let you know that you're suffering this thing because you're praying for Joe Smith, who's got a big lust devil. And I'm letting that devil come over and hit you tonight because I know, Richard, you can bear it. And I know that that is your way of trying to help convert that person. Because you're going to be able to resist that devil and weaken him so that when he goes back to that person, he will not have the same power. That's another reason why it happens. So that's what we call discerning the spirits in the Catholic way to do it. You have to ask God for that help too. That's why when you wake up in the morning and anything happens like that, you have to ask, why did you allow that to happen? But I'm telling you as a fact that when you know that the angel can come into your dream, your good angel, and he could shut that dream off like a TV set 99.9% of the time whenever the devil is attacking me with lust, he doesn't, or I use the holy name of Jesus and my angel doesn't have to come in even and help me. When you get to say Jesus, Mary, and even when my guardian angel stops the dream, and he absolutely does, as soon as he stops it, and the devil's no longer tempting you, even in your dreams say, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, save me, lest I perish. Just remember that. And you watch how quick that whole thing goes away. But when the angel comes in and shuts it down, it's because he knows you weren't to get to that point, that he was ready to succeed on you. Now, here's my, if the good angel can do this and God allows it, then that means when it happens, God also allowed that. So your question is, in the morning, God, why did you not allow my good angel to protect me? Why did you allow this to happen? So I'm just and don't become so a person who doesn't know about these mechanisms who is Jake can get totally despairful and think they've committed a mortal sin or something, but the devil can even try to tempt them to despair. But you really do have to wake up and say, God, why did you allow that to succeed? Have I sinned? Have I done something wrong? And like I said several times, even when you even thought you ate a little too much, or you're drinking too much alcohol, or you're drinking at a time when you should have drank it, even though you're not getting drunk. But God knows you better be careful because you're going to start drinking too much. And then you examine your conscience, you're going to wake up and you say, and you even know before you went to bed, you said, yeah, remember you ate a little too much? You just, those, maybe you ate about three different little things, but you went on to four or five, and it was the four or fifth thing you did. And you even said, well, I think I went a little too far tonight. And you even feel bloated. God gives you that dream. And he lets it succeed. And then you say, Lord, if that's true, let it happen. I always say, Lord, if I ever ate too much and I pass that barrier, give me one of them dreams and let it succeed. Because that's God's way of telling me you ate too much. Or you've done something else too much. You've done something else false. God will let that happen for false. And even lets it happen for sins you have not yet committed or false, but that he knows you will commit in the future if he doesn't humble you. Now, I always say this, and every one of us, pride is always right around the corner to peek its head out and grab hold of us. Pride is a horrible thing, and it's the root of all sin. And now, you could say, if I went on for 1 year chaste without any of these temptations, without any problems, I'm going to become overconfident in my own goodness, my own greatness. I'm going to put less confidence in God. I'm not going to realize, really, how often God's helping me. So God lets that happen. If those things weren't happening in my dreams, for instance, how? Now I know the power of God in my own weakness. I know how much I need God. God tells me how much even now that you still have a concupiscent flesh. You still have a concupiscent flesh that could pull to the devil anytime. So it's a great blessing, too, in many cases. But I am telling you people, though, too, that are already in sins of lust, it's a done deal. Your dreams is a non-issue, really, because you're committing lust all day. And you're doing it anyway. This is the person that goes to bed saying, boy, I want to dream about it. Send me a nice girl in my dream so I can have fornicate or something, And this is a testimony to the pre-Vatican II church, bishops and priests. There was nobody left in that church that was even really in it. They were all automatically excommunicated before Vatican II. We grew up in that era, and I will tell you, every kid I grew up with, every friend I grew up with in the city, thought the same way. It's the same way when you go around in town, everybody looks at a girl and they whistle like, woo, they whistle. You committed a mortal sin. Oh yeah, what are you looking at there? What are you thinking in your mind? You committed a mortal sin, pal. They've gotten so used to lust, the American way is that lust is a normal thing and all boys should have. And if they don't, his father's going to go out and get a whore for him even. To make him commit an act of fornication just because he can say, I'm a man. And this has happened amongst so-called Catholics. This is the Romans 1 curse. Look at the pedophilia sins that all these priests are committing and the homo sins. It's lust is lust is lust is lust. And the devil is controlling the world so powerful by this. Now we're not talking about just lust. The devil tempts people who love money with money. They have dreams of gold bars. They have dreams of big deals that can go through in which they can make a lot of money. A thief deals of dreams about thieving. He gives them dreams about stealing. He gives them dreams about lying. Whatever your sin is, the devil can tempt you in that area. So the thing is, there's a whole bunch of things happening in your dreams that are sinful, but you can never be guilty of sin, but which you must be very much aware of, because that's how the devil gets his roots into you and tries to tempt you to sin when you're awake. Okay, so that's it for this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This is a brief addition to the sermon that I have just given. Other reasons why God will let the devil succeed in attacking you in your dreams and overcoming you is also for those who want to be good Catholics, and to those who are good Catholics, is maybe because you're slacking off on your prayer life. You're not praying as much as you should. You're not mortifying yourself as much as you should. And for those who are not Catholic at all yet, and they're outside the church, it's because you're obstinately holding on to some heresy,
due to pride. You're not acknowledging some truth that God is proposing to you, and you're obstinately rejecting that truth. These are other reasons in which God will allow the devil to succeed in your dreams, in overcoming you in your dreams. Also, there's another way the devil will attack you in your dreams is when you're close to God and you've separated yourself from the world, because St. James says in James 4:4, adulterers, know you not that friendship with the world is the enemy of God? Whosoever becomes a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And also in Matthew 10:34, whoever loves father or mother more than me, or brother or sister or son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And that you have to love God above even your family members, and that means even you have to separate from them if they're obstinately evil, because they'd be the cause of your damnation. So the devil does to a lot of people who come into the Catholic Church and they start to live a really good Catholic life and do separate from their family members sinfully, obstinately sinful family members and friends, and now they're living separate from them, and they're not under the influence of that, of these evil people. The devil will start to give you dreams of family members and friends to make you affectionate to them, to make you wake up and want to call them or speak to them or get back in communion with them. He'll do that also in your dreams. And or old friends, or he wants you to start becoming affectionate to these people. The devil will give you dreams like that. Also, to lure you back into close social ties with obstinately sinful family members and friends. And again, I just would like to remind all you people that your daily prayer, I would strongly recommend that everybody, as their night prayer, should just pray the compline prayer that the Church has composed from the divine office, as the divine office is the second most powerful devotions and prayers other than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and then the third is the Holy Rosary. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.